Age of Vision radio show with your host, Ronnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV. We're halfway through the year. This is Roundup Friday with Jerome Hebert, my co-host, who is on the show on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Hi, Jerome.
Good morning, Lonnie. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to remember to thank KEPW.org or 97.3 here in Eugene, Oregon, because they play our podcasts. So we really appreciate everybody joining us. So today's kind of Roundup Friday. We talk about stuff, our shows, what's going on. And I thought, again, I'd start the show with, I opened up the I Ching and just pulled open a hexagram to see what a message could be, some bit of guidance. So I'm going to do that. I did that while the intro was on, like I did last week.
I like that idea.
Yeah, me too. This is number 15, Chen, and it is modesty. So I'm just going to read it really quick. This hexagram is made up of the trigrams Ken, Keeping Still, Mountain, and Kun. The mountain is the youngest son of the creative, representative of heaven on earth. It dispenses the blessings of earth, the clouds and rain that gather around its summit, and thereafter shines forth radiant with heavenly light. This shows how modesty is and how it functions in great and strong men. Ka'un, the earth, stands above. Lowliness is a quality of the earth. This is the very reason why it appears in this hexagram as exalted. It is being placed above the mountain. This shows how modesty functions in lowly, simple people. They are lifted up by it. The judgment. Modesty creates success. The superior man carries things through. It is the law of heaven to make fullness empty, and to make full what is modest. When the sun is at its zenith, it must, according to the law of heaven, turn towards its setting. At its nadir, it rises towards a new dawn. In obedience, it is the same law. The moon, when it is full, begins to wane, and when empty, the light it waxes again. This heavenly law works itself out as in the fates of men also. It is the law of earth to alter the full and to contribute to the modest. High mountains are worn down by the waters and the valleys are filled up. It is the law of fate to undermine what is full and to prosper the modest. Men also hate fullness and love the modest. The destinies of men are subject to immutable laws that must fulfill themselves. But man has in it in his power to shape his fate according to his behavior, exposes him to the influence of benevolent or of destructive forces. When a man holds a high position and is nevertheless modest, he shines with the light of wisdom. If he is in a lowly position and is modest, he cannot be passed by. Thus, the superior man can carry out his work to the end without boasting of what he has achieved. The image. Within the earth, a mountain, the image of modesty. Thus, the superior man reduces that which is too much and augments that which is too little. He weighs things and makes them equal. The wealth of the earth in which the mountain is hidden is not visible to the eye, because the depths are offset by the height of the mountain. Thus high and low complement each other, and the result is the plain. Here an effect that it took a long time to achieve, but that in the end, easy of accomplishment and self-evident, is used as the imagery of modesty. The superior man does the same thing when he establishes order in the world. He equalizes the extremes that are the source of social discontent and thereby creates just and equitable conditions.
Yeah. What a beautiful statement. What a, again, true words.
Kind of speaks to what our efforts are, isn't it? Because really, we have to continue. And that, you know, this is the thing. We are on a path. Like, you and I both chose at different times that this, all of a sudden we realized, oh my gosh, we've been lied to all of our lives. Like, for real. Like, about what's safe, what's not safe.
All right.
You okay?
Yeah, I have no idea what that was.
Huh.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, where are you sitting, Jerome?
I am down by the Willamette River, and in this little glade right off the side of apartment buildings, or the bike path kind of goes on the street for a second, and I have a picture, I guess, Skinner's Butte or some other butte mountain type thing.
Yeah, it's Skinner's Butte.
And it's idyllic, with the exception of several high voltage power lines going right through the middle of it.
Yeah, you're right in back of the Whitaker. For those of you that are familiar with Eugene, he lives in back of the park behind the Whitaker, so in that area. So that's where you're sitting. So that's awesome.
Beautiful.
So look, this is the thing. We are fortunate ourselves. Boy, this room that I'm in echoes. I apologize, people. We're actually pretty fortunate that we live, that we're conscious. I'm grateful that we're conscious. I've been thinking all this week about all the information that's come our way on this radio show. And, you know, it is a little bit much. We get a little bit, I think we can get overwhelmed when we comprehend all the lies, all the manipulation and all that stuff. But I think our focus, like for me, the way I want to focus this radio show, however it moves forward in the future, is I really want to focus on how we can create a sense of well-being and humanity. And I think that's what this reading was about. Like just staying modest and doing the right thing. But part of that is us I think we have to just, it's kind of like an abuser. How do you survive a person who's been an abuser? I mean, you and I are both child abuse survivors. And we, basically, how you do it is you stay out of the way of the abuser and you get away from him as soon as possible.
Yeah,
and then you start living the correct life as soon as you can. And that's what we have to do. We have to start living the correct life. Find what works for your body, what makes your body. We are not meant to have aches and pains at all. We can get over simple things. There are easy ways to help our bodies heal. We have been lied to by the entire medical industry here and nutritional industry in this country about what's healthy, what's not healthy. There's this huge thing, you know, now we have this junk food, right? So now we comprehend that fast food, where you go in and get your food in 3 minutes because it's all microwaved and full of chemicals, so it cooks quickly. We understand that. Most people comprehend it. But what they also don't get is that, like, when you go into a restaurant, a lot of the food that you eat is semi-prepackaged. That's why it's really important to go into a restaurant where the food tastes like food. Like, not just instant, we warmed it up out of a package and it's served. You want real vegetables, you know. That's hard. Like, you can't go in, no offense to Denny's, but you can't really go into a Denny's and get a nutritional meal. Because all their food, everything in there is GMO.
Unless it's just like, yeah, you're right.
There, I mean, like, even the coffee.
Just based on that, based on the fact that it is all GMO, it is all just the worst of the worst.
Yeah, it is.
Good food. That is good food.
Hey, I remember I used to love it. Before I really discovered what all that meant, I used to think it was great.
Right. We have a total disconnect. We have a disconnect between ourselves and
our food supply. Well, this is the thing. This is where I heard your show yesterday, and I think that we have to caution ourselves. This is why I make an effort to not steep into this and say we. I have a very, that's one of my words. Like, if you say the word try to me, the we do that and we do that. No, we don't. We don't. We are living, you and I, we're not the decision makers. We didn't just decide, and we have zero control about the matter. Zero. The only thing we can do is choose not to participate in it and make it a different way. Like, you can choose.
And not to ignore it.
You know, well, you have to ignore it. What do you mean not to ignore it? You mean not to deny that it exists.
Right.
Right. Well, to be aware of it and to understand. But that also means taking the steps, the daily steps, to feed our bodies well. And, like, people don't take, they don't take apple cider vinegar regularly. Baking soda, very simply. Dr. Circus was on this show. He was on your show. He said, look, very simple. We are in a radiated time. A half a teaspoon of baking soda on an empty stomach, first thing in the morning, boom. That will protect you a good, strong bit. Do people do that every morning? Do we give ourselves permission? This is why my new... Part of what I'm going to include in the new path is something I recently discovered, and you've probably heard me start buzzing around it too, because you and I talk off air, is this self-love deficit disorder that Dr. Ross, I think his name is Roseberg, he wrote a book about this, and he talks about how empaths, how we have a culture, culturally, we're suffering from a lack of self-love. All of these conflicts, all of it, really comes from we're coming out of a time where people were trained basically to not love themselves. And at this time on our planet, the only thing that's going to get us through is love. Love is greater than fear. And we have been living in fear nonstop intentionally since 2001. So, you know, we've got like 17 years of a culture that's
before that.
Yes, but not...
Our whole society was based on fear in the 50s and 60s.
It's true.
That's
true.
Where this whole nuclear thing came from, was the fear that was instilled into our society.
That's
the fear
right.
of the Russians.
Mm-hmm. And that's my point here.
And they're still trying to use that one.
Exactly. So the only love... But see, love is greater than fear, Jerome. This is why we have to focus
on self-love.
I agree.
Love is greater than fear.
But we have to focus on self-love and self-healing. In healing from the abuse of the narcissist, and just some people are just, their characters they've given up on themselves, and some people are just horrible people, and they're mean to each other. And you're not going to, so those kinds of people, there's not very many in our society, but the ones that you run across, just avoid them. Don't let them in your life. But many people in our lives that we care about give us, you know, we're constantly confronting ourselves. This is what I learned in Pema Chodron's book, How to Live in Peace in Times of War. I bought that book when the Iraq War started.
Okay.
And it was funny because I thought she was going to talk about real war. Like, how do you manage living in a time where you have to live in the country that's perpetrating the horrendous crimes of war that you do not agree with? The whole thing was fake. I was very, and remember, I am a tax resolution specialist. So most of the time, people have to pay their taxes. We can get penalties back, but a lot of times they don't qualify to make a negotiated deal, more times than not. So my job is getting people to participate in paying their taxes, right? So this was hard for me when the Iraq War happened. Like, I'm talking people into paying taxes. And we're going to go kill people and destroy a country that is the bedrock of civilization. The fact that the United States government allowed the looting of the Baghdad Museum was not an accident. That was the first place they looted. They wanted to destroy the bedrock of civilization. Just like Trump now, with his imposition of these tariffs, he's blowing up the transatlantic partnership. He is isolating America just like every abuser isolates its victims before they start pummeling them. That's exactly what he's doing. But back to the point here, is that we are living in these times, right? And so I think it's very important for us to really focus on self-love and loving ourselves and learning to really embrace living and loving. Because so many of us sort of like we get by, we hear this negative talk all the time. That's why I really object to saying we do this and we're killing the planet. No, we're not. We're living on a planet. And every species sort of doesn't destroy its environment, but they do eat other creatures, or there's something else that they eat, the plants. I mean, who's to say plants don't have feelings? I mean, that's part of, when I was younger, I used to pray to plants because I felt like they were the most pure creatures on the planet, because they continue to strive and grow no matter where you put them, and they reach up high, and they're always loving and open and accepting of us. Who's to say if that my youthful folly in thinking about the trees, it wasn't real? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's very important. Everything in the food chain, I think, has a kind of a basic understanding, if you will, built into its DNA that says, okay, there is a chance I'm going to be eaten by X, Y, and Z, and I can eat P, Q, and R. If I'm lower on the food chain, that is a plant. But if it's higher on the food chain, it may be me or something above me. It ends up, of course, with the humans, because nothing eats humans. We're the top of the food chain. So
that's not true. Creatures eat humans. We get attacked by bears. They maul at us.
Occasionally.
I mean, wild creatures will eat humans if they could get them. The thing is, you can't catch a human.
Do you even think about it? As a person in the world, do you even ever think about, I might get eaten by a bear or...
No, but because we're not living out in the wilderness. So that's a wide sweeping statement to say we're at the top of the food chain and we don't get eaten.
We are at the top of the food chain. Look it up. We are at the top of the food chain, according to what the food chain is defined as.
Yeah, according to the human species, we're at the top of the food chain. Like, exactly. I personally question all of it. Like, who's to say that the whales... The thing is, we are at the top of the destruction chain. We are top of the chain that can destroy things quicker and easier because we can use our thumbs. We have our brains. This nuclear industry thing is a perfect example. The real scientists who discovered this, like John Goffman, said, no, we should not be using this in business at all until we really understand it, because it kills children and babies and women and people. It's harmful. It won't go away for a long time. It's a great science. We need to have nuclear weapons. We need to keep that in production, but we should not be using it in industry. You know, summarily.
Well, yeah, to be using it in nuclear weapons is even worse than using it in industry, because you're creating a much bigger waste stream.
Well, that was the thinking after World War II. You're actually that whole war thinking.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, we're in a time. This is the thing.
We're in the age of fission. We are creating an age. An age is what we have created. We have now put up enough of this stuff out into the environment.
I'm not going to let you say we. No, I did not going to say we have not created it.
Who? Should I say they?
Yes, the technologists. Yes, you can call them the oligarchs, the technologists, the industrial military complex, because they lied to us. They did not tell us the truth.
It is not us. That is actually really valid. Valid. I agree. It is not we. But I feel personally complicit because I I just feel like I should somehow be able to stop
guilt, 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 guilt. Love something. Yourself more. Love yourself more and be clear with who has the responsibility and culpability in this lie. You and I was born in 55. You know, I was lied to. My mother and father were lied to. I lived way outside of Los Angeles. But I know people who were born right in Van Nuys in Chatsworth, where they have built homes, where they had the first nuclear meltdown ever on the planet was in Los Angeles. And there's tons of homes right there, and the cancer rate is off the chart, and they have the best cancer research ever. But, you know, this is why if you listen to Mark Rabinowitz this week, he was talking about we need a truth and reconciliation. We need to end the Manhattan Project. We need to stop the secret societies and the secret governments. That's where things went awry. When we had our soldiers swear to secrecy, when we had upper people management saying we're not going to tell anybody, including the president, that created a separate government. We need a truth and reconciliation program in this government, and we need to get our money back because it's our money. It's our taxes. The Pentagon can't just lose $12 trillion and go, oops, sorry. Sorry.
They just
and by the way, I beat my wife every week. So sorry about that. I mean, this is who these people are, frankly. I mean, why do you think rape and assault in the military is no big deal? Because the men who are overseeing those people do the same thing to their wives. So that's the real issue here. So it is time for us to have reconciliation. And I'm not into the guillotines. You know what I mean? I don't want to off with their heads and make them go to prison forever or hang anybody like we did in the Nuremberg trials. That's, you know, how when I think back on that, how hypocritical the Nuremberg trials were. When at the time the Nuremberg trials were going on, they were planning huge bombs to be tested on millions, on all the entire world population. And so many bombs have gone off on the planet that they don't even test for plutonium because plutonium's half-life is 24,500 years. We have a lot of it. A lot.
Right.
You know, we have all kinds of horrible things floating out there, so they ignore it. That's why they built the medical industry, the AMA, and the whole Western medical industry, to be able to ignore it. That's why we have the World Health Organization taking orders from the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Okay, yeah. That kind of makes sense. Because they would have to, otherwise then the World Health Agency would...
This is why we have to call for peace and reconciliation councils. Because we need to tell them...
Well, how do you go about doing
that? We forgive them. Well, we have to start amendments.
How would you go about it?
Well, how you go about it is you get the government, our elected officials, to get enough people inside the military who will stand behind them. Because this has certainly been a military coup. The way to take it back... This is how they had to do it under Pinochet in Chile. The United States installed Pinochet. And for 10 years, all these generals, all these people, they cooperated. They murdered and slaughtered lots of people. In fact, in Guatemala, it is still going on. That's another whole very sad story. But in Chile, the generals there began to get sick of it. So they began to... refused to participate, like, in support fake elections. They allowed real elections to come back. You know, they didn't... Yes, it was very interesting. Like, but the people, and they actually did have real... They had real elections. Okay, so let's just put it to you this way. They actually had real elections. From what I understand, the elections weren't rigged. But the paper was bought by the fascist government. So you couldn't get out the truth. So the military was the strong arm for the resistance against the propaganda machine because people were sick of it. People were disappearing. And like in the United States right now, I was thinking comparing that, how in the United States we have black men who are shot by the police on a regular basis. And the protest to that is taking a knee at a football game because we can't get any accountability. An 11-year-old child was shot by cold blood in 7 seconds, shot down, and their sister was arrested, and she came running out, and she was arrested and rough-handled. And those police officers were not fired, did not go to jail. They didn't, they were not at all held accountable at all. And so for the president to like tell the NFL that they should fire people who take a knee, you know, that people shouldn't be in the country. We're talking like people need to pay attention to what is happening. If we want our democracy, it is time to speak up, folks, because this is how I bought a button that says, if you ignore your rights, they disappear.
Correct. I agree with that 100%. If you ignore them, then it's over. It's over. We're doing that in a lot of ways, I think, Lonnie. I am doing that personally.
Well, then
I know
stop
that
doing it. Then make a commitment to not do that.
As well.
Then make a commitment to change that, like me. I've made a commitment. I'm not doing... This is the thing. I am doing what I can, right? I do this radio show. I call up my elected officials. I write letters to them. I poke them in the eye, even though... Look, this letter... I pre-recorded an interview with Louisa Hamacek last night. She came over late, and she's like, can we do an interview now? And I'm like, yeah. So, but this is a letter that I got from Mark Rabinowitz about every single elected official in Oregon signed this letter. We appreciate your combined leadership in promoting the commercialization of the SMR technology. They fully support NewScale. This is 2013. I have an appointment on Tuesday with Jeff Merkley, Senator Jeff Merkley's office here, local office. And I'm going to bring the letter, and I'm asking him, are you going to rescind your support of NewScale, or have you? Because I expect that. That is outrageous. We do not need NewScale. The nuclear industry has never told us the truth. They lie and constantly lie, and we know they lie. And let's just talk about this idea of whistleblowers. Why do we have to have...
The ones that get silenced and fired and have to self-censor or lose their career?
But this is the point. Why are we having, quote, whistleblowers? Why? What happened? Where? How come employees cannot speak openly and talk about, remember Mr. Truth? And he was just a contractor building the nuclear station. And the Nuclear Regulatory Agency turned his back. The guy who represented the NRC turned his back on his conversation as his boss put his fingers to his lips. Intentionally.
Yeah.
That was chilling. Yeah. So why is that? So this is why we need a
money.
Yes, but let's, it is, you know what, I think it was in Foreign Policy Today, there was an article that said, it is time for profit, let me see, what does it say? It's time to choose democracy over financial markets. The Italian president's decision to reject
an open government. That's the problem right there.
Economic.
Ronnie, there it is. You want your problem? That's it. Our democracy has been bought and paid for. So it isn't a democracy anymore. And
well, this is why it's important for us.
Real,
I know.
But
you know what, Jerome? Nope, not enough people vote. So let's don't call it democracy until, if you tell me that we have rigged elections after we get 70%, 80% of the people voting, then, okay, I might concede that point. But right now we have less than 20% of the eligible people actually participating and voting in elections. So we do not have a democracy by choice. And that is not maybe by choice, but by design and plan. Because this is why I'm cautious about saying the we and all of this other stuff and blaming the voters. Because I believe that we're moving. We're, in order to have the truth and reconciliation councils that we need to have across industries, actually, is it takes us from victimhood to claiming our power. Because we feel like we're victims of these people. We don't have a choice. We feel like we can't win. We try, we bang our heads, but it's kind of like I told Louisa, you'll hear the interview on Monday because I'm going to play it, I think, on Tuesday, actually, because I'm going to the meeting with Jeff Marcus. I'm going to pay her interview Tuesday. But when I got out of there, we left there feeling very happy. We were beaming. It was really, we had such a good time. We couldn't believe they talked to us for an hour. It was quite fun. And then I started thinking, yeah, we drank the Kool-Aid. Like, think about it. Mr. Whelan, Dan Whelan, said he worked for Jeff Merkley for 8 years. And he now works for Pete DeFazio's office. His communication, I forget his title, something like that. Jeff Merkley knows about the whole Hanford thing. He's very up on the nuclear. And Mr. Whelan said to me that they did not ever recognize the proximity factor, the double danger that would be caused, because if there was a nuclear meltdown, you can't get within that area. So that would cause Hanford to go into crisis, right?
Right.
So, but the idea that they had never even thought about it is almost impossible, because I'm not the first person. I heard this from Jerry Pollitt of, what's the name of his organization? Louisa knows it off the top of her head, and I'll look for it. But anyways, I heard him at a seminar. I drove up to Portland one time and saw him in a seminar, and that was like, after Fukushima, I saw him, and they were talking about him.
Yeah. Well, it is a huge, giant issue, and we are apparently out of control with it. We, and I do mean we, because as a people, we have allowed this to go forward, and we may have been lied to, and yeah, but it is still, this is not something that affects a few people, Lonnie. Radiation stuff spreads over, and it affects everybody. You know, and what really gets me is that it affects the effect that it is going to have. It's not even bad yet. As bad as it is, with a 4 out of 10 chance of getting cancer in a lifetime for people living in North America, higher on the East Coast, way higher south and east. You know, we might go to a 7 in 10 or 8 in 10, or with cancer might be the number one cause of death to humans. We don't know why.
Listen to what Jerry Pollitt belongs to. Jerry Pollitt, to me, he's a member of the House of Washington Representatives from the 46th District of Washington. But he is also executive director of Heart of America Northwest, a watchdog group focused on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation cleanup. So he also is also on the State Coalition for Open Government. So there
that
are.
Interesting.
Yes. And so Heart of America is a good organization up there. I mean, they're the reason that the way that I saw their presentation was the most clear thing I'd ever. It was really honestly the first thing that really got me to understand and comprehend how serious the issue is. That was really literally almost 5 years ago, after I had that nightmare of Fukushima. There was something going on in Portland. And so this is what I suggest to people. Find out why we're jumping up and down. Don't just think of us as like, oh, they're just lunatics. And it's not like a death sentence. It's really important, like simple things. Take your baking soda every morning, or your apple cider vinegar. You know, and if you don't do it every morning, do it at least several times a week. Self-care, self-care, self-care. This is really why I believe that that Dr. Rosenberg is correct. It's really important. This self-love recovery is very important, and we're in a vital time, because
I think that's what my video kind of was about. It was to shake people by the shoulders, Lonnie, and go, look at what you're doing.
We don't need to shake people. We're being shook, Jerome. I object to that.
Quit going to McDonald's drive-thrus and getting chicken McNuggets.
The people who watch your video, I guarantee you, are not going there. People who watch your video are not going to McDonald's. And if they're going through McDonald's, they're probably having high anxiety. What I say is, feed your body the right nutrition, exercise, and self-love. Don't refuse to be critical about yourself. Love yourself. Forgive yourself. Face your fears. You know, love yourself for your fears and embrace them and resolve to overcome them and allow yourself to grow. Because that's what's going to get us through this time. That's what I think. We are coming up into some very big challenges. And we need self-love recovery, because when you begin to get into self-love, you're open, we're receptive. Humans are meant for love. We're meant to be around each other. We're creatures that are meant to be, you know, in tribes. We create our own little tribes.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you hear this?
Yeah.
This is my rain stick.
Rain stick?
Yes, it is. It's right next to here, and I decide I'm going to have it on the radio show because it calms me down. Because some of the stuff we talk about, my anxiety level, like even myself, as I'm talking about it, I start the show, and I want to hear about this. It's very important that we discuss it. But it's also, for me, very important that we don't victim blame, because we are living in the culture. But the responsibility looks forward, blame looks backwards, right?
Right.
So we're responsible.
Which is why I ended yesterday by saying, so quit lying to our kids. Teach our children what this danger is. It is a real thing. Teach them to use their baking soda and why it's important. And their apple cider vinegar.
You don't teach. You show. You live. You don't have to teach. You show. You live. That's your lifestyle. That's
right.
How you live.
I wouldn't
live
know. I've never raised children, so I don't know. I'm speaking strictly from anecdotal
evidence.
Look,
a lot of
evidence.
People don't mention things to their kids because children can't handle the anxiety of knowing they're living in a point. They can't comprehend the fullness of what that means. So you do have to, like, not tell kids too little. You kind of have to, like, you know what Heidi Lambert talked about this. One day she was trying to explain, because, you know, they're from her kids. They were like 10 or 12, I think she said, and they decided – She would show them how nuclear waste was made. So they went to the store and they got a bunch of candy. And so that first what they did was they had a bunch of liquid candy and chocolate milk and syrup and all this stuff. And so then, like, they took the hard candies, and that represented all the toxic tools. Because once, you know, you're building all this toxic stuff, the tools become radioactive. All the metal starts to melt because of the Wigner effect. So you can't use it. So you have a lot of tools that you have to bury out there. So you put those in the hole, and then you have the sludge, and then you have, like, the gummy bears, which is like the sludge and stuff like that. So you should hear one of her interviews listen to the interviews on our show. You can just type in Heidi Lambert on Age of Fission, and I think she's been on quite a bit. She's very busy. She wants to come back, but she's been very busy. But she was talking about how she shared this with her kids.
Over my head.
Isn't that awesome? It's because we live near the coast.
Yeah.
But so Heidi actually does that with your children. But I think that was a good way to do it. And, like, remember, you met her children at the Statue of Amanda on our 311 vigil, where we hiked that hike to the 311 vigil of the Amanda's Trail. And that was, I thought that was a really sweet idea to do on 311, because that's out of the way.
Yeah,
I mean, I like you,
Jerome,
am mortified that they are moving people back into Fukushima. But think of this. That's just what they're doing here. They left people at Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
You know? Three Mile Island is not actually fixed. They just covered it up and said, we're good to go. We got to let it cool for another 100 years, and then we can start dealing with it.
Right. It's in containment, more or less.
Yeah. Until there's a huge earthquake or something. I mean...
Oh, Lordy, I would be curious
to find out if there's actually an earthquake fault under Three Mile Island. I'll bet you there is. Because honestly, it's kind of like a sick joke. You want to find earthquake faults? Look for nuclear power plants.
Yeah, you want to find areas that will most be affected by tidal waves or sea level rise? Look where nuclear power plants are.
Yeah. You know, Louisa is, you know how where we went? I last night, do you know where we went to the coast? Louisa says she doesn't go there because she thinks that there's a very great risk of a huge earthquake out in that area at any time now. In fact, the state is on a constant state of preparedness for that right now.
Really?
Yes. And also, you know, these things are coming to us. In the Salem area, Salem, Oregon is the capital of Oregon. And right now there's a blue algae bloom, and you cannot drink the water at all. And not even through a water filter. It does not take out the blue algae toxin. And the state says, oh, they're cleaning it up, but it's going to take a week or 2 weeks.
The whole water system is down?
The whole water system in Salem. My daughter lives in Salem. They have 25 gallons of water. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
That is stunning to hear.
Well, this
So how does that happen?
I don't know.
What is it?
I don't
blue, know the blue-green algae? Blue-green, I think, is what they call it. I'm not really remembering off the top of my head, but...
Yeah. But the point is that these... Look, Flint, Michigan still does not have water.
Right.
So...
They're still bathing in it and washing their clothes in it.
And kids are still getting very sick from it.
Yeah. That's blood poisoning the thing. All over the place.
If we're going to consider ourselves a first world country, we have a military who steals money from us and says, sorry, we just lost $13 million so we could go torture people at will and not tell you about it using your tax
dollars. It was $1 trillion.
It is true. $13 trillion. That's the latest count,
right.
Isn't it? That's what they're admitting to.
$13 trillion.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I honestly
think a pile of money.
How many senators do you think would have car accidents or have heart attacks if they passed
a
law?
Like, hey!
No, if these senators said, guess what, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to, like, forgive whatever it was you guys did in the past, but from now on, this day forward, we know the bank account today. We're going to watch over the finances and everything. Every dollar is going to be accountable.
I don't know why it wasn't that way.
How many senators do you think would get killed and have coinkydinkies and accidents? I venture to say they'd have at least 5 or 6, enough to scare the rest of them.
Yeah, but you see, the same companies that own and run the nuclear industry also own and run, through lobbying, senators and congressmen and representatives. So
well,
it really
I push
is.
Back on this. This is why I've decided, you know why they own them? Because not enough of us are calling them. We don't own them. We're not owning them. We are allowing them to be purchased. I mean, why do you think that these Republican congressmen are actually quitting? Because they said they are sick of hearing from their constituents.
Okay.
That's a hilarious thing. Don't you think? Like, and they get mad because they are having to answer for Trump's behavior and not for the policies they're pushing. And they don't, you know, they get very upset at that. So a lot of them are just quitting because they don't want to have to face the voters. So that's the point here, is if we really did push back and get engaged, we could, and I really believe this, like, but a lot of that comes from self-love. We're not going to take these actions until we begin to make help ourselves and help us understand that we deserve to love ourselves unconditionally, and we deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is being taken away by the technologists.
So you know, tell me this, Bonnie. I have a question. What about people 400 years from now? Are we responsible for their happiness and their ability to have self-love, etc.?
Why are we responsible for their ability to have self-love? We're not responsible for them. What are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. Right. They are really kind of not a consideration because
we're
they
not.
Don't even exist yet.
No, oh, but we're not. We're not responsible.
Lonnie, come on, please don't interrupt me. Allow me to finish what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are responsible because these products that we, the people, are allowing our government to create, manufacture, and store haphazardly are going to affect people 300 years, 400, 500, when it all gets loose, when our stupid little containments fail, which they will, and all over the place, you got these giant plumes of radioactivity spreading out over the landscape, everywhere you look. When there's a freak accident and a meteor strikes the North Pole and melts, 4 cubic miles of water, and all of a sudden sea levels rise 2 feet across the planet. Oops, every nuclear plant gets flooded. This is a legacy. This is an age. It's the age of fission. We have already created
an extermination event if that happens.
Gigatons of these products. We
Look,
have created
I think,
gigatons.
Jerome, I think I've, you know, pretty much made it clear. Look,
so
I made it clear.
So are we responsible?
Not we.
And you're continuing to interrupt me.
No.
And you're continuing to interrupt me. Are we
I'm not. You're asking me a question. Are we responsible?
And
no.
You're not letting me even finish asking it, Lonnie.
Okay, finish.
Are we responsible for the destinies of the people 400 and 500 years from now by our lack of action and our lack of self-love, if you will, which says, yeah, we need to make this not only sound for us, but for future generations as well? Is there a responsibility there?
We are not responsible for the destruction caused by the technologists. We are not responsible for their willingness to knock off every activist and silence every activist. The only thing that we can do in our lives is continue. If we were to mass together, this is what the Occupy movement was about. Let's put our feet together. Let's come out. Let's demand accountability. This is why I agree with Mark Rabinowitz when he said what we need is a truth and reconciliation council across all these technologies. Because if we remain silent, then we are also culpable. We do have a sense of culpability in allowing it to continue to happen. Because once you know about a wrong being done, it's your responsibility to take action, whatever action feels right, to stop that wrong from happening. And a lot of people are engaged in a lot of different activities. Like, you know, Jerry Pollitt runs the heart of Northwest America. They have done great work. He worked on the State Coalition for Open Government. I mean, he works in the state legislature, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean? He is doing what he can do. There's people, you and I are doing this radio show. We're doing what we can do. But are we responsible for it? I would say no. My answer is still the same, Jerome. We are not. And I think it really defies credibility.
I think I'm just referring to humanity in general.
Well, then
you just kind of summed that up and said, yeah, most people are, they are aware, but they aren't willing to do anything about it. And so, yeah, there is a karmic responsibility.
And why is that? Why is that? Because of a lack of self-love. That's why we have this urgency.
There you go.
Self-love covering. But
and it is perhaps because of a lack of self-love as a species, as an appreciation for how fragile we are and how fragile our environment is, and having a love and a compassion.
Well,
like
I also
said, no blood, no guts, no compassion. You know, if you can't see the blood and guts, you don't connect that piece of meat with the chicken. In your brain, it's just a sandwich. It's not even a chicken.
Well,
in your brain.
That's not true.
You actually had to connect that. No, you can say that if you want, Lonnie.
I mean, the reality is, it's like, people have eaten meat. People know what slaughterhouses look like.
And I'm not dogging eating chicken. I'm saying that is what it is. But it is.
This is why it's important to buy conscientiously grown food. I agree. We should not be having these huge animal farms. You know, if we can be conscientious about our choices, that will improve and bring about a healthier environment. But we can't stop the contamination no matter what we do at this point. You ask me what we think is going to happen 300 to 400 years from now. I doubt we are going to have many humans 300 to 400 years from now, if any. It's going to be, I don't know, there's an old book called The Canticles of Leibowitz. It's an old science fiction book about the way in the future, 300 or 400 years post-apocalypse. And it's a very interesting science fiction book. It's called The Canticles of Leibowitz. If anybody, I don't remember the author, but it was a great book. So, but, you know, it is. There's a lot of really interesting ideas. And this is the thing to enjoy about life. There's still plenty of living to love. You know what I mean? Like, there's no need. But I really am beginning to it grates against me. And I think this is where a lot of our culture has gone wrong, because we have allowed name calling, finger pointing, victim blaming, victim shaming. It's really, we've taken a step back from emotional healing and kind of gone backwards and started being pummeled. This is why I said earlier, to me, I was not shocked.
Or have we never gone forwards, or have we not evolved to that point yet?
I push back. I'll tell you what, we have gone forward. But, you know, it's kind of like what Kai Hushka said on my show one time. He's like, this is the thing about democracy. You move forward, they push back and push you back. And then the people push forward, we get democracy. Because what happens is, when we get really a good swing on democracy, it feels so good. People kind of get lazy and their kids take it for granted. And so then the forces, the oligarchs and the forces of financial investments, they gobble up a little bit and push back. But he said, when you look at the scale of democracy, rights are rising. Like right now on the planet, we are gaining in the courts and in the system of just human social justice. The question is, can we make these changes fast enough to keep us from the brink, from killing the beautiful things that we love, not just our own species, but these beautiful things we love. You know, the birds, the animals, the plants, all these beautiful things we love. And I am going to hold firm to the idea that if we begin to recover our self-love and open our third eye and begin to use these magnificent brains on the top of our heads, we will magnetize the correct answers. And yes, it can be reversed, because we can't, I mean, I'm going to resist the idea that it's all gone.
And those answers are going to come from our children. You know, that's where the answers are going to come from. They're not going to come from us. They're going to come from people.
That's because we're
going to
be dead. We're going to be dead. Like, that's called life.
The problem
will
still be there after we're dead. It'll actually be worse by the time we're dead, Lonnie. Way worse. Because now with this new Generation 4 nuclear power scheme, which will go forward, they are going to be reprocessing all of the old spent fuel and pulling the plutonium metal out of it and moving that around and making new fuel pellets with just plutonium and a little bit of uranium in them.
That's their plan. This is their paradigm.
That's what they're going to do. They are going to do that. They're already doing that.
Look, they wanted to build 300 nuclear power plants. You know why they're doing it? Because everybody's been asleep on this. This is why you
right.
and I
they
are on
the
air.
They don't need the plutonium anymore.
We
have
can
a
push
huge
back. From, we are waking people up. People listening to this radio
yeah.
show. So I'm pushing back against you making these flat affirmative statements, because this is why I am sitting on the radio at 8 o'clock in the morning. And saying, no, we need to self-care, self-love, so that we can push back and we have the courage to push back, because it does take courage to call your congressman and your senator and to go in their office and say, by the way, have you changed your position on this? Because this stuff is killing us and we object to this. And we do not want SMRs in our country, in anywhere. They're illegal in Oregon.
Anywhere.
These are illegal
but
in Oregon.
There's one running here, right?
I don't believe that there's an SMR is being at
Beaverton.
They're building an SMR in Beaverton?
Somewhere on OSU they have an operating.
Yes. But we're not talking about a full-blown small modular reactor. We're talking about ones that they build for the schools. That's the other little trick thing. You know, it's like they say they don't have nuclear reactors in Oregon, but they do at every university. You know, they have them all, a lot of the places here. They do have experimental reactors and things. Experimental. Yep. And then the military base has their stuff, which you can't keep them from having. So it's very interesting, right, the politics and how this works. But I think this is why I get excited, Jerome. I'm sorry to step on your words. I apologize for that. The reason I get excited is because making definitive, sweeping statements, our thoughts are things. And as people who are on the airwaves, I disagree with making sweeping statements like this that are going to project negative projections out there and allow it to become more real. Like last night in the interview, I decided I wasn't going to read this whole letter because I don't want to give it power to the lies they're saying. And this whole letter that these people signed, that all these representatives signed, was written by the nuclear industry. I can guarantee it. You should hear it. It sounds exactly written by NuScale to Secretary Moniz, asking them to approve them for some credit, which they did. They got boatloads of money after 2013. So these senators helped NuScale get a lot of money.
Yeah, they've got several different prototypes, and NuScale's not the only company. Hitachi's in on it. General Electric is in on it. All the biggies.
People that do not want nuclear power.
It's a generation four.
Yes.
And the reason is because they can burn up the plutonium that was generated in the old school steam type power plants. Whereas these are or generation two and three and one power plant. Generation four uses a different. It uses a plutonium fissioning process.
Wow.
Versus the old school ones, they use uranium, and some of the reaction was a plutonium reaction, just because it was created and then destroyed. But now is they're starting with it and a much denser packet of it, much closer to a bomb, really, a much denser packet.
So they're going to be placing these little bombs underneath the ground and leaving them there. That's
right.
One of the things that's the selling point of the small modular nuclear reactors, as Louisa reminded us to say, because they sound, oh, so nice, small modular reactors. No, it's small nuclear modular reactors, small modular nuclear reactors. So they are still a nuclear reactor. They are not. So you're saying that they're basically going to bury like a little bomb in the ground. That's good.
Yeah, it's a very, very complex, tight package of fuel. And those things will do up to a million watts of steam power a piece.
That's just great. Oh, this is the thing. You know, it's such a disregard. So you ask me, are we responsible? Well, you know, the best we can do, although I've been doing this for 5 years, Kevin Blanch has been banging his head against the wall for a long time, getting people. There are a lot of people on YouTube. We have a lot of keyboard activists, people who go to YouTube every day to find out what's going on. Thousands and thousands of people. I mean, worldwide, probably a lot more, millions. I think there are a lot of more people who understand. The question is, how do we effectively put pressure? And I think our only option... Well,
sweeping statements is what I've come up with. People seem to appreciate that. You don't.
I don't like sweeping statements. Sweeping statements
people
make
do.
A broad brush. Well, people
I've
have been misguided.
More positive comments on that than any
yes,
other thing.
But you know what?
People like negativity. Let's look at it.
Jerome, people like negativity also. And we need to change that paradigm from being negative to positive.
I'm not trying to put it out negative.
It is a negative
statement. Trying to point out an issue. Propose solutions, hopefully.
No, because you know what? You
and
don't
that's not the way you
up.
See it.
No, sweeping statements about we are doing this and we're doing that. No, we're not. We are not.
We are the human race.
We have to choose. We have a culture where that's our only option. It's like telling people in a prison, oh, well, you're eating junk food, so it's your fault that the world's bad. They don't have a choice. Right? That's what's being fed to them. It's victim blaming. And this is the brainwashing. This is the abuse. We have been really seriously, systematically, narcissistically abused by the oligarchs and the power. The book Propaganda was intentionally made to change society. Edward Bernays, if people have not read it, please read Propaganda to understand what has gone on. But you know what? We're at 8:58. We have 1 minute.
Wow. Well, this has been a pleasure.
A feisty conversation, my dear.
Yes, it has.
I want to thank KEPW 97.3 and Eugene for carrying our radio program. And I want to thank you for being my friend and allowing us to have open dialogue.
Honest and great. Fantastic. I'll talk to you later, Lonnie.
Okay, Jerome. Well, everybody, put your courage feet on. Call your elected officials. Make an appointment. Go down there and see them and say, hey, we object to this, and find out what their positions are. And push back your federal officials, your mayors, and everybody. Just go visit them all, because it's time to push back. Put your courage feet on. Talk to you guys soon.